Erevin Perkei, Mishnah Ches 5:8. This Mishnah really should be learned as part and parcel with the next Mishnah 5:9. In fact, the way the Bavli has it, it's just one long Mishnah. And between the two of these Mishnayas, really, and we come to the end of not just the fifth chapter of Erevin, but really the entire treatment of the topic of Erevei Truman. We're at the end of that topic. With the sixth parak, we begin a whole new topic of Erevei Chatzeros. So this Mishnah here is a little bit convoluted, as you'll see what I mean in a few moments. So let me lay down the principles here first, which are actually very straightforward. The Mishnayas here, 5:8 and 5:9 combined, are basically making three points. The first point is that if a town has within its tchum another entire town, we'll call them villages maybe, so that is to say you have a footprint of your village, and then beyond the footprint of that circumscribed rectangle, you have 2,000 amos in all directions. If, let's say, within 2,000 amos north of the city, you have an entire another village which fits inside that 2,000 amos tchum, so then the width of that second village is considered to be just arba amos, four amos. Meaning, hypothetically, if you go north 1,000 amos, then you find a new, from the edge of your town's footprint, and then you find a new village, and that village is however big it is, it doesn't matter, as long as it is less than the total of 1,000 amos, meaning it fits entirely snugly within the 2,000 amma trum. So let's say, for argument's sake, it's 800 amos, it doesn't make a difference, whatever it is. So when you get to the edge of that, the northern edge now of that village, that second village, we look at that whole village's width as just being arba amos, meaning from that northern edge you still get another 1,000 amos north, meaning you have 1,000 amos north till the beginning of the village. The whole village is discounted just four amos. Then you have another, true, there's almost 1,000 amos north of that. You actually get only 996 amos north of the northern edge of that second village, because the village itself counts as four amos. Okay, so the example I gave, hypothetically, at the village, second village, were a total of 800 amos from south to north, you get 1,000 amos from the footprint of your city to the beginning of that second village. Then you'd get another 800 amos, the whole width of that second village going from south to north. And then you get another 996 amos north again, because you're only counting that village's width as just four amos. That's the first principle of the Mishnah. And for that whole principle to play out and make sense, just remember that if you have two villages that are within 141 and a third amos, one to the other, so then they're considered to be one contiguous village, and this whole Mishnah wouldn't come into play yet, because the footprint of that village would actually, that rectangle that you circumscribe around, would include both villages as a single rectangle, and then you get 2,000 amos in all directions beyond that rectangle. But if it's more than 141 and a third amos away, one village to the next, so then indeed you have now two separate, you'd have two separate villages, subject to what I described a second ago. The second point of the Mishnah is that if you're measuring 2,000 amos from the edge of your city and you end up in the middle, like when you get 2,000 amos exactly, you end up in the middle of a village or in the middle of a house or in the middle of a cave, it doesn't make a difference. When you get 2,000 amos, that's the end. You cannot go an inch further, which means half of the village or half of the house or half of the cave would be permitted to you, the closer half, and the other half would be disallowed to you, the farther half. It doesn't matter that it cuts the house right down the middle and just half of the living room is inbounds and half is out of bounds. That's how it goes. So the first point is, if the entire village is in, then it's all in. But if it doesn't get the whole village in, then it cuts exactly a sharp line, even dividing structures within the village or caves, etc., right down the middle. The third point of the Mishnah, unrelated to the first two, is that it's a question. There's a machlokas tanaim here, a question of when you make a symbolic home, if you will, by using an erev tchumen, and you put that picnic basket of food into, let's say, another nearby village. So are you looked at as a full-blown resident of that second village? Meaning now, the same way that village, every resident of that village gets the entire village plus 2,000 amos in all directions, so you like a bona fide resident, and you also get the full footprints of the village plus 2,000 amos in all directions? Or no, is putting down Erev Tchum just making you sort of like a symbolic resident, and therefore doesn't carry the same benefits as being a real resident, which would mean that you only get 2,000 amos from, let's call it the picnic basket, or really technically from the dalet amos around the picnic basket, and not the whole city, but exactly 2,000 amos north, south, east, west from the arba amos of your picnic basket, and not the whole city. That's a machlokas. The Chachamim and the Halacha says you become a full-blown resident of wherever your Erev Tchumen is, so you're just like a resident there. And Rabbi Akiva is going to say no. Rabbi Akiva will say it's a symbolic makom shvisa, it's a symbolic place of residency, but therefore you don't get the benefits of being a proper resident. You just 2,000 amos in all directions from your picnic basket. Okay, that's the third point. So let's the Mishnah ask outside. Here, let's see them inside. Slowly. The first Mishnah says, sorry, 5:8. Anshe ir gadola. If you have two, the setup of this Mishnah is you have two cities, or villages, whatever they are. One's a big one, one's a little one. They, again, are spaced apart, at least 141 and a third amos. That is to say, let's say the southern village is the large one, and the northern village is the small one. So that means that the distance between the northernmost structure of the large southern village and the southernmost habitable structure of the small northern village are more than 141 and a third amos apart, making them two different villages for the purposes of determining Tchumen. Just a reminder, where's the 141 and a third number come from? We said that the 70 and two-thirds is the distance from which you could extend from one structure to the next within a given village. Within a given village, that number 70 and two-thirds basically came up from being the square root of 5,000, which had its precedent elsewhere. And so if you have two villages, each are getting 70 and two-thirds, like potential buffer zones, so 70 and two-thirds times 2 is 141 and one-third. Okay, so the setup again is you have this large southern village and this smaller village directly to the north of it. And the setup is that the 2,000 amos to the north of the large southern village, that would be Tchum, totally subsumes, it totally includes the whole of the northern village. The whole northern village fits inside the 2,000 amos of the southern village's Tchum. Okay? But the converse is not true. The large village is very large, and therefore it does not fit entirely into the 2,000 amos of the Tchum to the south of the small northern village. Okay, so there's an asymmetry there, and therefore the residents are treated differently between the north and south as follows. Anshe ir gadola, the residents of that large southern village, whose tchum includes the entire northern village, mahalchen es kol ha'ir katana, they can walk throughout the entire smaller village that we have, in my example, to the north. However, ve'ein anshe ir katana, mahalchen es kol ha'ir gadola. On the flip side, the residents of the small village to the north may not walk throughout the entire length and breadth of the village to its south, since after 2,000 amos beyond the footprint of the smaller village to the north, you have a boundary that cuts through the middle of that larger southern village. So the point is the people of the northern small village only can walk to that southern boundary of their tchum and no further, even though it cuts through the middle of the city to the south of it, even if it cuts right through the middle of a building, as we'll see, or a cave, etc., as we'll see shortly. Okay, that's all the words I told you essentially were to explain that one sentence, which doesn't say very much on its own, but that's the point of the sentence. Now, the next word of the Mishnah is ketzad. Now, ketzad usually means how is it so, and it comes to illustrate the principle laid down in the previous sentence. As it happens, our Mishnah is missing words, and if you look at the Gemara and Samach Aleph of Erevin, you see there are two versions of this Mishnah running around. In any case, they're missing words, so to speak. They're missing words, if you will, that are missing from our Mishnah here, which introduce a new concept, which talks about the question of when you put your Erev Tchumen, the picnic basket, into another town, do you become like a resident of that other town or no? And the principle is yes, you do. You become a full blood. The Tanakhama, the Chachamim are going to say yes, you do. Meaning, if you are a resident of that southern, let's say the smaller northern village, but you put your picnic basket into your Erev Tchumen into that larger southern village. So now you become a resident of the southern village for Shabbos, and that being the case, you can walk the entire length and breadth of not just your village, but also the entire southern village. You get everything. Okay? You become a full-blown resident, so to speak, for the Shabbos of that southern village by virtue of your symbolic residency with the Erev Tchumen. And that's the principle that the missing words of the Mishnah lay down, and therefore the Mishnah illustrates it by saying, Ketzad, how does that work? How does that look? Mishahaya be'ir gadola, if a person were in the large city to the south, to the north, sorry, my example to the south, the large city to the south. V'nasan es eruvo be'ir katana, and he puts his picnic basket to make his Erev Tchumen beyond the footprint of his city in the smaller village to the north. Or be'ir katana, similarly, if he was normally a resident of the smaller village to the north. But he put his picnic basket for his Eretz Chumen into the larger southern town to establish residency there. So then, in the second example, Mahalach es Kula, since he's now got the status of being the guy from the small village to the north, now gets the status of being a resident of the southern larger village, he can walk throughout the entire southern village, edge to edge, v'chutz la'alpayim ama, and he can also go 2,000 amas to the north of it. And if we're talking about if it includes the southern village entirely, he can even go the whole thing I said before, throughout the entire northern village, plus, you know, a total 2,000 amos, only counting that northern village as 4 amos. And similarly, if you were in the south, putting your embers to the north, so again, you get 2,000 amos around the footprint of that northern village, and no more. Okay? On that point, Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ein lo ele makum eruvo alpaim ama. Rabbi Akiva says, no, he only gets 2,000 amos around his picnic basket, or really technically the dollar amos around his picnic basket. And the reason why is, like I said before, Rabbi Akiva holds that you do not get all the benefits of residency just because you put a symbolic Erev Tchumen down. You just that does sort of move the center of your Tchum for Shabbos to a different place with the picnic basket, but it doesn't give you the benefits also of the whole village or structure even in which the picnic basket is located. Okay, we stop here, but I suggest go straight on to the next Mishnah, which is a straight continuation of this Mishnah right now.